On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I preview the upcoming football game against Tennessee, review the week in Gamecock athletics, and wrap up things with giving my six-pack of picks for this weekend across college football. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 9 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I'm your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode between 1801 to 2001. And oh my lord, I was so excited for this episode. I freaking hate Tennessee. I don't know what it is, but let me tell you something. They're the Volunteers. It's going to be Volunteers, all right. T-E-A-R-S, because they're going to be crying after we play them. Full disclosure, though, I am recording this episode in my lunch break, so if you hear some things going on, just bear with me here. That's show business, baby. And now I know that I cannot share this with any of my new coworkers, at least till I get settled in here. But going back to Tennessee here, it just feels like every game we play against them recently has just been close. And I just associate orange in college football with evil. And I'm actually going to be watching this game outside of the New York area. Normally, I go to the Gamecock-affiliated bar, the Mason Jar, and I'm not going to be able to make it. So I have already reserved a table at this bar that I'm going to outside of the area. I am already prepared for the stares I'm going to get when I am just losing my mind during that game, but I don't care. Gamecocks all day. I hate Tennessee. As I mentioned in the last episode, they are right at the top of teams I hate. I just don't know what it is. Despise them. My goodness gracious. But I am really excited to see what the team brings to the table. And, you know, although this narrative, it doesn't really mean much when it comes to things on the field, but it'll be interesting to see how Tennessee and South Carolina compare to each other these next couple of years, considering that both are new staffs, both are coming off down years in 2020, and both are really trying to get back to their former glory, if you will. They're trying to reclaim a top spot in the SEC East. So it will be interesting to see how both new staffs manage this couple of years and where we can find ourselves against them, you know, in these next 3 to 5 years, call it. But before I jump in, let's review this past week in Gamecock athletics. Now, outside of football, men's soccer, we tied FAU 2-2. Nice draw, boys. Good job. Women's golf, we finished 6th in the Windy City Collegiate Classic, but I actually did a quick dive into that scorecard. We were 10th and then 11th, and we really battled our way back, so 6th place in that is a good finish. Women's soccer, they play Ole Miss the day I'm recording this, so the results will be in after the podcast releases. There were some other games that got postponed because of weather and things like that, so it wasn't a whole lot going on to this point, but men's and women's basketball, the preseason sort of kickoff, if you will, the Madness on Main, was announced to be October 15th. So that's just really kicking off basketball season in Columbia. And I mean, just from a general perspective, October is honestly, you could argue it's just the best month for all sports, right? You got college football, you got the NFL, you got basketball on both levels kicking off, and then you have the MLB playoffs on top of it. It's literally a full-time job keeping up with sports in October, and I would have it no other way. But going back to some football updates here, the Vanderbilt game, homecoming game, let's go Cox, was announced for 4 p.m. on the SEC network. So that should be a fun one. Again, that's probably one of my favorite time slots. Well, one of three, but it's cool that it's on the SEC network. Hopefully that's a game that we can handle well. I mean, it's homecoming, so you always want to put on a good show. Some personnel updates. Ortre Smith, he entered the transfer portal. I mean, that's just kind of tough to see. I mean, he had a great freshman year. It really felt like he was destined to be that next great Carolina wide receiver, but it just felt like injuries and maybe some other things on the depth chart and the staff. It just, I don't know, it just didn't break his way. But I truly hope he finds success elsewhere, because I really had high hopes for the kid. But that really wraps up this week's updates. But since we are on the subject of football, how about a little preview to the Tennessee game and my crows to the game? How does that sound? All right, so overall, what are we looking at? First off, did y'all know that Shane Beamer, he has a master's degree from Tennessee? He mentioned that in his press conference, and it just absolutely blew my mind. Blew my mind. But nevertheless, as I mentioned a minute ago, you know, Tennessee, they were left arguably a bigger dumpster fire than South Carolina was after that 2020 season. So they're starting fresh. They have a new coaching staff. They even have a new athletic director as well. So really a whole overhaul in their athletic department. They are also sitting at 3-2 this season, having a bit of an up and down year to this point. They got wins against Missouri, Tennessee Tech, and Bowling Green, just powerhouses, and then losses against Florida and Pitt. Now, the name of the game for Tennessee thus far, and really the calling card of their head coach, is fast-paced offense. They're looking to put up a lot of points, and they're looking to outscore you. That's just their game. That's their coach. I'm going to probably fudge up his name. Heupel, whatever his name is. That's what he did at UCF, and he's brought that to Tennessee. And to this point, you know, that has really been the case for them. It has worked. They're averaging about 40 points a game, but they were only held to 14 against Florida, which, when you look at who they've played, that's head and shoulders the best team they have played to this point. But you could also say, well, maybe Florida isn't exactly what we thought they were coming off their last performance against Kentucky last week. But on offense, you know, they do like to take their shots downfield, and it just feels like when they hit them, the offense tends to exceed, and when they miss them, they tend to lag behind a little bit. But their quarterback, he's an experienced transfer, Hendon Hooker. He can run the ball too, so he can pick up some of the slack with that. Now, however, it does feel like the big weapon that they have to this point is their rushing attack, actually. Now, most people, including myself, you associate a fast-paced offense with throwing the ball all over the yard. And like I said, they do like to take shots, but it seems like everything is built off of their running game. So for comparison, Tennessee, they're averaging about 250 yards per game compared to South Carolina's whopping 121. Now look, take those numbers with a grain of salt, right? Carolina's rushing game is nowhere near where it's been in years past, and we know it can be better. But even the SEC opponents Tennessee has faced, they have not faced the type of defenses that Carolina has, and also solid defensive fronts like Troy. Like, I can promise you, if Carolina played fucking Bowling Green like Tennessee did, our numbers would probably be a little bit better too. Now, defensively, Tennessee, there really is not much to write home about with them. They have given up about 21 points per game, and from what I understand, they don't have much of a pass rush, and they are susceptible to the long ball as well. But before I jump into any more specifics, I have a galaxy brain take for y'all. The meme of the thinking and then the better thinking and then the galaxy brain, that is me right now. I'm seeing this so clearly. Tennessee, they unveiled a new alternate black uniform for us this Saturday, right? Their dark mode. They had this whole Twitter video and all that BS, but everyone seems to be kissing their ass about it, saying it's so cool, it's badass. But listen, I don't care. First off, debuting a black uniform at a noon game is just objectively weird and just makes no sense. But however, here's my take. Tennessee is going to be wearing all black. The weather in Knoxville on Saturday looks to be in the mid to high 70s, but it's sunny all day. It's going to be a little warmer on that field, and the black uniforms are going to soak in all that extra sun and the heat, and I think that by the fourth quarter, you could see the Tennessee players be more fatigued and more dehydrated than Carolina, and that could be the difference maker. So look, you can take that galaxy take, share it at your watch parties, share it amongst your friends, share it on Twitter. Just give Cox Game Cox Talking Gamecocks the credit, all right? Just give your boy some credit when you're sharing it at the watch parties and around the keg. But anyway, with that, let's jump into my crows to the game. Now, as a reminder for y'all, Everyone has their keys to the game. There's really nothing new, unique about that. You go to any preview show, they have their keys. So I have my crows to the game, just like the rooster crows in Williams-Brice. So on defense, first crow, limit the explosive plays, right? Tennessee is going to take their shots downfield, and honestly, they probably will hit some. But the objective for this Carolina defense has to be to limit the damage, right? I don't see Carolina holding this team to 16 points like we did against Kentucky, but I also don't see the defense giving up 40 like we did against Georgia, right? So how can you limit it to be closer to that 16? Also, we don't have R.J. Roderick for the first half of the game because of that targeting call. So somebody in that secondary is going to have to step up, and we're going to have to get creative as to how to make sure our playmakers are able to defend that ball. So guys like Jalen Dickerson and Jamar Brown, I'm expecting them to have some big days, particularly in the first half, hopefully. But again, y'all, don't freak out if Tennessee does hit some big throws. It's how their offense is designed. Our defense, our job is just to slow it down just enough to keep us in the fight. Now, my second crow to the game for the defense, slow down the run, right? I mentioned last show that if there has been a weakness for this defense, it's been stopping the run. Now, if you add on top of that, that Tennessee, they are prioritizing the run and they've been successful in the run, that actually could be trouble. They have a couple of good backs that they rotate, so we have to find a way to slow that down. As a whole, the defense has to do a really good job of communicating because they're going to have a short amount of time because of how fast Tennessee likes to play. So you have to make sure that you're able to find your assignment and try to slow down Tennessee at the point of attack. Switching over to the offense now, my first crow of the game, it's kind of the sort of the opposite of the defense here, right? Create explosive plays, right? Tennessee, their defense, again, it's not much to write home about, right? In fact, they've actually given up the most passes of 10 yards or more in the SEC, right? We've seen Marcus Satterfield try to push the ball downfield, even when Zeb was the quarterback. So I hope and expect to see that to continue. Now, obviously, that means Josh Van is primed for a big day, but I also think we could see some other guys step up and have some big days. Does that mean EJ Jenkins continues to be involved more, right? The coaches have said his approach in practice these last few weeks has been incredible. That's what's earned him this extra playing time that we're seeing. So I hope he can be involved more, especially closer to the red zone. But I also think Jaheim Bell, he is a nightmare matchup. And if their defense is going to be focused on the long ball to Van, maybe Bell can swoop in there for a 10 to 15 yard catch, find a soft spot in the zone, and exploit that. Now, my second crow to the game, keep Luke Doty upright. Now, obviously, saying your quarterback, you know, don't give up sacks your quarterback, that's not exactly groundbreaking, but it kind of goes off the first crow because if Luke has time to go through his possessions, it's possible that he can find guys for more of a medium catch, but an extended run after the catch. And also, Tennessee does not have much of a pass rush, so you don't have to ask the O-line to be All-Americans, right? They just have to be a little bit above average, and that should be good enough. Also, I did just have a side note about Luke I wanted to touch on, but he himself said he's at a point where he is very comfortable with his foot again. Now, I'm sure we're all tired about hearing about this damn foot, but I like to hear it from him directly. I was happy to see that he himself said he is feeling much better with it, instead of just saying, oh, yep, Luke is probably the most comfortable he's been, yada, yada, yada. And if he is really feeling good about that foot, hopefully that means he can scramble, try to extend some drives, and allow the defense to rest and talk about communication and things like that. Because if the offense spends more time on the field, coaches can coach the defense up and try to figure out how to communicate better, because it is hard to do that when you're A, in enemy territory, we're going to be in Knoxville, but also a team that plays fast. It's always a strain on the defense. Now, I did have a bonus crow to the game, and this is really a team-wide effort here. That's win the field position battle, right? If we can make Tennessee work and have to march down the length of the field more times than not, I feel that that just creates more of an opportunity for us to make something happen on defense. So the offense, at a minimum, like I just said, you got to create extended drives and try to end our possessions at a spot in the field where we can pin them deep if we're not going to get points, right? If you're not going to be able to get in the field goal range at a minimum, get close to that 50-yard line, R40, so we can pin them deep. And from a special teams point of view, if we can make some magic happen, that could be the difference maker as well. Even if we're able to just confuse Tennessee, maybe draw a penalty, knock them out of field goal range or something like that, that could be a difference maker towards the end of the game. So overall for the game, I think this is probably bound to be another good old Carolina tight and stressful ball game. A lot is riding on the offense to hold up their end of the bargain, though. Last week, they were able to create some good drives, but almost all of them stalled and ended up in field goals. That probably won't cut it this week, y'all. We gotta find the end zone multiple times. Now, if we want to beat Tennessee, we do need to see every aspect of that offense outperform themselves by a decent bit than we have seen to this point. And now on defense, like I said, if we can limit the damage and give our offense a chance to stay competitive, I think they will have done their job as far as I'm concerned. I'm not asking the defense to be world beaters again. They have to just do their job, slow them down, and limit the damage. But look, I've said it once, and I will say it again, I'm a forever optimist. I go into every game thinking that Carolina can win. And also with this game, look, while I think Tennessee may be a bit better than I would have thought at the start of the year, I do not think that they are all of a sudden this powerhouse team by any means. I don't love that this game is in Knoxville, but I think we do match up pretty well with them overall. So I think Carolina escapes this one, escapes out of Knoxville with a W. I think it's tight. I think this might be just a 3-point squeaker. So we got to root them in. We got to keep the faith. Keep the galaxy take in your head, but let's go Cox, man. And speaking of wins, move over to my six-pack of picks, and then we will wrap this bad boy up. So six-pack of picks, again, if there's anyone new listening, I don't mix business with pleasure. I don't bet on Carolina. It's stressful enough already. So we pick one game from each Power 5 conference and then the group of five, and that's my six-pack. So the ACC, Georgia Tech at Duke, under 61. That game's at 12:30. Just feels like both of those teams tend to have meh offenses when you look at the points allowed and all that jazz. It fits right in that under. Big Ten going Maryland at Ohio State minus 21. That's at noon. Maryland just got their asses whooped by Iowa. I think they're deflated. They had a horrible injury to one of their players. I think Ohio State knows that they have to start beating the crap out of people if they want to get back into the conversation. So I think that they're going to try to roll. The Big 12, there is literally, this is no joke, there are three games when you filter down to the Big 12. And so I'm going with another nooner, a lot of early games in my card. Red River Rivalry, Oklahoma versus Texas. Give me Texas plus 3. I think Texas might win that game outright. Oklahoma, they're good, but they're not as explosive as they've been. Texas, minus the loss to Arkansas early in the year at Arkansas, they have looked really good. That's a neutral field. I think Texas can hang in there at least with those points. Pac-12, give me the Oregon State Beavers minus 3.5 at Washington State at Wazoo. That game is at 4 p.m. Eastern. I don't know much about either of these teams. I heard them talk up Oregon State last week in game day. We're going to roll with that. Give me Oregon State minus 3.5. SEC, Vandy at Florida. Over 59. That game's at noon, and here's what I'm thinking. So the spread for that game was Florida minus 39. So Vegas thinks Florida can score at least 39 points. I feel like they might overperform that, but maybe you get a garbage time score or two from Vandy, and that pushes it up over the over. Group of five, little Friday night lights action for y'all. Temple at Cincinnati. There were a couple games I was debating, but Cincinnati, they have looked impressive as hell. They know that they have to win out, and they have to win impressive if they want to keep playoff hopes alive. They are in a position to maybe be the first group of five team to do so. I think they're going to go home. It's Friday Night Lights. I think they're going to roll. But with that, today's episode is a wrap. Please make sure to follow me on social media, y'all. Again, Twitter, it's Cox Gamecocks. Instagram, it is the name of the show. Cox Talking Gamecocks. And hey, I forget if I announced or not, but we are also on Apple. So Apple and Spotify, you can go like and subscribe on both. Maybe bless your boy with some stats. But with that, I will catch y'all again on Monday. Go Cox, root them in. Let's go.